Hey everyone, this is Dr. William Clark, your host of the Dr. William Clark Podcast. Glad to be with you for another episode. This is the podcast that focuses on nonprofit fundraising, strategy development, and leadership development. And I'm excited to come to you with another episode today. Today we're going to talk about briefly how to improve program recruitment. This is so interesting because I got a question the other day about how to effectively recruit for a program and how to avoid some of the mistakes new nonprofit leaders kind of fall into. We're going to talk about that today. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know that this particular episode is brought to you by the Nonprofit Fundraising Strategies Academy. This academy was created with you in mind. We created this academy to provide teaching, instruction, and coaching within the three areas of the three secrets of raising serious money. We teach you how to do that. We provide on-demand teaching, instruction. We provide live coaching. In fact, we have a coaching session coming up in a couple of weeks. And also, we provide all the tools, tips, tricks, and templates we use to raise money every year for our nonprofit and for our students and clients. If this is something you're interested in, if you're looking for affordable coaching, affordable resources to help you get off the ground and to elevate your nonprofit to its next phase and life cycle, why don't you join us at nonprofitfundingstrategies.com? Again, that's nonprofitfundingstrategies.com. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how to improve program recruitment. And let me just give you a quick scenario. The scenario is you have a new nonprofit leader who created a nonprofit organization. And as we talk about on this podcast, nonprofit organizations are typically launched out of a passion, out of a desire to see something happen positively within one's community. And this is kind of the reason why nonprofits is the catch-all place for people who are looking to do good because they feel it in their bones, they feel it in their soul. In fact, I would venture to say that the nonprofit industry is the place where people with a heart go to serve. Now, there are people that may argue with that, and I totally get the point behind the argument that you can have a heart and decide to create a for-profit company to change lives, and I totally agree with that too. But I'm going to defend our industry, right? And so this is the place where we come and we serve. Now, here is something that we struggle with. Because we come to the nonprofit industry with a big heart and a big purpose behind what we do, we often come to the industry and we often create nonprofits and work in nonprofits without strong business acumen. And so that is a criticism that we have that we receive on many fronts, and this creates a struggle. Here's an example of the absence of business acumen. We launch nonprofits and we want to serve people who fit a specific category, people who are less fortunate, people who are in need, and we jump into this work without really doing a deep analysis of what that means. Now, I have seen situations where people talk about, or these new leaders talk about, how they want to serve people who are in need, less fortunate, homeless, hungry, without clothes, etc. And if you try to have a conversation with them about how do you define that, it's hard for them to have that conversation. It's hard for them to describe and define what that means and how they understand that concept of serving people who are less fortunate, people who are struggling, people who don't have resources. That creates a huge acute gap in reality and a huge gap between reality and what needs to be done. The scenario continues with this particular person stating that they served a family, they identified a family they wanted to adopt or serve with resources, and came to find out that this family has a plethora of services. This likely means, and this person did not go into detail, but this likely means that this family they adopted has tapped into other nonprofit services, governmental services that has allowed them to deal with whatever situation that they're dealing with. This particular leader was frustrated by that and felt like they needed to rethink how they assess need, how they approach the needs of customers, how do they understand the need of customers. This is a huge lesson for all of us to continue to learn and refine. I can tell you, my team and I, we've been in operation for a number of years, and we've been doing what we've been doing for a long time. I can tell you that we spend the majority of our time not trying to deliver programs, not trying to be the best. Obviously, those are things that we want to continue to do, but we spend more time than not either planning and strategizing or studying and learning our customer. And I can't tell you, this could not be even more on display since the pandemic came online. A lot of nonprofit organizations have struggled to keep up with changes in the industry. They've struggled to keep up with changes with their customer. A lot of our colleagues and partners and competitors have been begging for the pandemic to end so they can get back into the office to do what they do because they believe that services are best provided in person. The problem with that concept, and this is what we're getting into in this podcast, is that our customers, those people who we've identified as in need, who need our help, who need our resources, they have adapted to the pandemic much faster than we have, which means that they are accessing resources, services, or whatever they need in a virtual capacity with or without a physical facility. And our nonprofit providers have been slow or refused to adjust. This brings me back to this podcast topic, which is how do you recruit for your program? Let me just say here, there's so much to teach here. And quite frankly, I'm going to encourage you to join the Nonprofit Fundraising Strategies Academy to learn more. But you got to understand that recruiting for your program is not just quickly identifying a need and saying, hey, who meets this need? You have to understand the psychology and the demographic of your customer. Every for-profit entity that sells a product and who's really good at it understands their customer. In my days of running a real estate company, I had to understand my customer because there are several customers accessible and available to me at that time, and I had to figure out who was my customer, who was my buyer, who was I buying from, who was I selling to, who was I renting to, and why. The demographics affected my price points, it affected my rent strategy, it affected my acquisition strategy, my process and strategy for getting rid of property, if at all. It impacted every element of the business, and I had to learn my customer so that I could speak their language. Here's another key. Learning a customer is not only about you speaking their language. Learning your customer is also about you disqualifying people who are not your customer. In our nonprofit industry, because we're driven by the heart and sometimes driven by visuals, we visually inspect people and determine that they are a fit for our program. When in reality, if you do a true assessment based upon the standards you have set for your organization and what you determine to be your customer, who you determine to be your customer, you would realize much quicker and much more frequently that many of the people you think or you visualize as your customer are not your customer. Years ago, when my wife and I started our work in the homeless space, we became very clear. It became very clear to us where we were living at the time that there were different levels and categories of homelessness within the city that we were living in. And there were people who lived on the street, people who had psychological challenges. There were people who were living in shelter, people who had long-term shelter stints, people who had short-term shelter stints, people who were homeless because of circumstance and situations, so on and so on and so on. Everybody who's homeless is not created equal. The only equalizer was they didn't have a home to call their own. The reason for the homelessness varied. Once we understood that, my wife and I did an assessment and figured out where we felt our value and our skills could be best used, and we targeted our specific clientele within the homeless industry. Did the same thing with our real estate company. We did the same thing with our church and our ministry. We do the same thing with the nonprofit organizations we lead, consult, and teach. And I'm encouraging you, despite what's going on, despite what people say, you must understand your customer. This significantly impacts your ability to recruit for your program. This impacts numbers, and this impacts the bottom line. If you don't have results, if you don't have the outcomes, which is the second secret to raising serious money, funders cannot give you money. This is essential for you to understand. And in fact, since we talked about the second secret of fundraising, raising serious money, I am going to personally invite you to join the Nonprofit Fundraising Strategies Academy. We teach this secret and the other two secrets in extreme detail so you can understand how to recruit, how to raise money, why this stuff matters for your nonprofit, not just so you can provide good services, because I know your heart's there, but so you can provide good services for the future, for years and years to come. Join the Nonprofit Fundraising Strategies by going to nonprofitfundingstrategies.com. Again, nonprofitfundingstrategies.com. I look forward to seeing you guys there. This is Dr. William Clark for the Dr. William Clark Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace.